I'm Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of state. We don't care. And yes, it is Friday, May 10th. And I'm live here in the studio at 140 Pine Street in Florence. And I'm Ruthie, and I'm bumping the mic around. And for today's show, I have some interviews about local food-related stuff. I have some interviews with some people from CISA that I ran into at the Creamery in Cummington last weekend. And interview with my housemate, Vince Hedger, who's a local farmer as of a couple months ago. And next week is bike week, so I'll probably play a recording of Carl, who's one of the organizers of bike week events, talking about all the events coming up. Well, one of them was tomorrow, May 11th, in Pulaski Park, the bike lab, Saturday bike lab, which is now every other Saturday, but tomorrow's bike lab will be in Pulaski Park, 11:30 to 2:30, the usual hours. And you can come learn how to fix your bike, borrow tools, whatever. If you're going to come and you might need some parts, let me know ahead of time. You can text me or email me so I know what parts to bring from the bike lab. And you can go to the Pedal People website to find any of those details, such as my contact information, the hours, the announcement, the place where it will be tomorrow, or the bike lab schedule for the next month or two to be determined. Yeah, just go to pedalpeople.coop and look for a bike lab. For today's stories, well, sometimes when I do Out There, I start from last week. So last Friday, I did Out There, and then there was Friday night, Saturday, and, you know, the week went on. I think right now I'll start from today and work my way back. let's see, what happened today? Oh, yeah, I was biking. I was at Cans for Cancer this afternoon, counting cans and sorting things. And, oh, yeah, somebody, this guy was throwing a bed frame into scrap metal. And which is right near where the Cans for Cancer dumpster is. And then all of a sudden, I saw him go down and ask for help for the woman that had come in the truck with him or from her. And we went over, and I guess when he had thrown the bed frame in, he said he didn't quite get it all the way up and into the rollaway. Because it's like a 6 foot tall, at least, rollaway dumpster thing. And he said he had chucked that metal, long piece of metal up there, but it bounced back and hit him in the face, in the eye, and he was kind of bleeding a little bit by the eye. Not bleeding yet. Anyway, he was fine, but it was a bit worrisome. You know, as Rich, the owner of Valley, said, none of us wants to be one-eyed. No, we don't. What else from today? And then I was biking back, and I was coming, I was crossing the intersection by Cooley Dickinson Hospital. I was stopped at the red light waiting, and traffic was coming from the side. It's two lanes there coming up Prospect from Prospect Street. And there was a pickup truck in the left lane that accelerated really rapidly to speed ahead of the other cars. And I just thought, you know, it just doesn't seem right that a person can press a button and go as fast as they want to go. As absolutely fast as they want to go, up to rocket ship fast, regardless of any impacts on society or environment or anything, or one's own person, leaving one's own soul behind. I should say, in that very moment, I was straddling a bike with electric assist, going faster than I could physically pedal myself. But my rationalization, my ethical thinking about this, because, you know, I always have to put myself in the ethical category and craft my argument so that I end up in that category. But my ethical thinking about it was, okay, I'm on an electric assist bike, but I don't actually go any faster on it than I could go on my own power. I just don't pedal as hard as I would have to get to go that fast. You know, like I think my e-bike maxes out at about 18 miles an hour. And that's a good speed. That's a good speed. That or slower. All right. You're listening to Out There. And last weekend, I took a bike ride up to Cummington to see my friend Shira, who lives up there. And the first stop was at the Creamery. It's Saturday, May 4th. I came up to Cummington to visit Shira at the Creamery, and there's a big event going on here that CISA is coordinating. I'm here with Lisa Goodrich. Lisa, what's your job with CISA?
Hi, I'm a communications coordinator, which is part of the communications team for CISA.
I found the right person.
Indeed, you did.
What is the project program that you're doing here at the Creamery?
This program is called Making Food Fun, and this is our first one for the growing season. We'll be doing 6 of these throughout the year, ending with Halloween right at our CISA offices. And the gist of it is we're just trying to share with the community all the great food and plants and opportunities there are to just experience our local landscape and food right here.
And I should say, what does CISA stand for? You should say.
Community Involved in Sustaining Agriculture.
And so what can you describe some of the table things going on here today?
We have a number of stations here, starting with just some information on SNAP and HIP. HIP is an adjunct to SNAP benefits, and if someone receives those, depending on their household size, there's an extra reimbursement put back on their card if they shop at farmers markets or farm stands that are HIP authorized, so that people can access fresh fruits and vegetables at no cost. So we have information on that. We have packets for kids with all kinds of stickers and activity sheets and little squeaky stress toy pigs. And we've got the new farmers market listings for the early summer and samples of cider from Carlson Orchards that is sold by Old Creamery Co-op here. And then we have a project for kids, which is hands-on, of either making origami seed packets and putting in some seeds to go home and plant, and they can decorate them and do their artwork. Or we have a station set up for planting, and we've got seedlings from Windy Ridge Organics, and there are strawberry starts and veggie starts. And plant starts that are edible are also covered by HIP. And so if people want to set a garden up, we can do that. They can do that and enjoy that off of their SNAP and HIP benefits as well. And so that's kind of the point of that. We've got Hilltown Seed Savers joining us today, sharing education on what it means to cultivate seeds that are meant for exactly the region we live in. Backroads Granola has joined us from Vermont with some marvelous gluten-free organic granolas that feature regional maple syrup. And we've got Highland Farm jams in an array of flavors. They're out in Savoy, and they make everything right here in the state. And we have Grace Hill cheeses, which there's a couple of delicious tastings over there. Berkshire bakery bread is what they're using to serve all of those nice tastes on. And so there's a little bit of everything. I mean, we just want families and kids to understand that we grow and make a lot of really good food here. And this is an opportunity to try it all.
Well, we're talking about acronyms. What do HIP and SNAP stand for?
Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And HIP is Healthy Incentives Program, which is that's provided by the state of Massachusetts. SNAP is provided on a federal level. And that, to some folks, might be known as food stamps. And so this is a way to enjoy fresh fruits and vegetables that are locally grown year-round. And there's an extra amount added to your budget every month for using for that local produce.
So, Lisa, it's the beginning of May right now. What are some of the local crops that are coming in? Because it's kind of early, right?
It is early, but the big news is the asparagus is out. So just on the CISA website, so it's buylocalfood.org, we have an online food guide. And if you type in asparagus in your zip code, it'll show you the farm stands and local markets that have that carry asparagus. And because it's really early in the season, you might want to check that farmer or store's website or social media just to make sure they've already got it, because it's just coming out of the ground right now.
And what about ramps, fiddleheads? Are those like cultivated in the area, or how? Where do those come from?
So ramps and fiddleheads are native plants that are in our landscape. I believe they're on the edges of woods. And some of the farms have them because they have woods on their properties. But my understanding is in both cases, the chefs love them and they're under a lot of pressure as a result because foragers can go in the woods and just pick them. And so, again, if you go on that same buylocalfood.org website and go to our online food guide, you can look them up. And there are farms that are trying to thoughtfully cultivate the ramps and fiddleheads and harvest a supply without taking too much.
If people want to forage things and not worry about taking too much, there's always Japanese knotweed and nettles.
This is true. And some of the herb farms that are on that same buylocalfood.org online guide, there are farms that are teaching how to use things like nettles and how to use dandelion and other things, both for purification and medicinal and for just climate adaptive eating. So there's some other options there.
And garlic mustard's pretty tasty too, in limited quantities.
Hi, my name is Clarissa Adon, and I am a food access program associate at CISA, Community Involved in Sustaining Agriculture.
That's a mouthful of words. Can you translate that?
So much. Yeah, it's a bi-local organization that's been around for 30 years, and we promote local food, and then but we also promote, my specific job is promoting SNAP, which is Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. That's the federal food stamps program. And then also HIP, Healthy Incentives Program, which is a Massachusetts state-specific program that provides $40, $60, or $80, depending on your household size, if you're a SNAP recipient, that is specifically able to be spent at farm stands, farmers markets, if they are HIP vendors. And then you get, it's basically free fruits and vegetables for you every single month that you can use to feed your family.
I remember when this first came into being statewide, I think. You know how long ago it was?
It's like 2017 was the first official full year, or half year, because it actually started after the fiscal year started, so it was in the fall. They did a pilot program in Springfield in, I think it was like 2012, 2013, something like that. But it's been officially part of the state since 2017. And they just this past budget year actually made it an actual line item in the budget. So it's no long, it's definitely just getting funded every year now.
That's so great, because I remember when it came, my boyfriend at the time, like I didn't, I'm not on it, but he got on it and he was so excited. He was so excited and just to, yeah, it's a great thing.
Right. Yeah, no, it is. It is such a good program because when you're on SNAP, you're having to make choices with the amount of money that you get about what you're going to spend your money on. And as much as you would love to be, you know, going to the farm stand that takes SNAP, you can't necessarily make your budget stretch that much. But by giving the fact that it's by household size, it has no amount, doesn't matter at all how many people. So if you have up to three people, you get $40, period, every single month. If you have three to five people, you get $60. And if you have more than five people, you get $80. And this is on top of your SNAP money. You don't have to make a decision, am I going to buy these fresh vegetables that are at the farm stand, or am I going to buy milk and eggs and, you know, those things that you need for your family to survive. So it's a really great that that's that additional program. So we try and make sure that as many people know about it as possible. And you can be getting the minimum amount of SNAP, which is $23 a month, and still be getting $40, $60, or $80 in HIP based on your household size, regardless. So it doesn't matter your income at all as long as you are eligible for the program.
And, of course, local farmers benefit too, right?
Absolutely, because this is an income stream that they wouldn't have, because these are people who wouldn't be able to afford to shop at their farmer's market or at the farm store or anything like that. They wouldn't be able to afford to shop there, but it's a guarantee. The people come in, they shop, the state gives you the money. So,
how did you get passionate about these things?
Part of it was I went through the program myself when I was in school, and so it was a big deal to just keep me being able to go to school and to have the money. But then also I know a lot of farmers, and so I've seen how the program has helped them. And I've worked in food access in other states where this is not a program, and seen what a huge difference it makes in the health of the participants, in the health of the agricultural community, and just in how it keeps that money very, very local. There is nothing more local than your farmer down the street, and you're just keeping that money moving through your own local economy.
Do you know more about the history of it? Like, who organized to get this to happen?
I don't know a lot. I know that it was piloted through a federal grant. And then in bringing the pilot program to Springfield, the Springfield Food Policy Council, Gardening the Community, Liz Wills O'Gilvie. Okay, so GusNIP is Gus Schumacher Nutrition Incentive Program, and that is the federal grant that provides funding for pilot programs like this to happen around the country. But then after proving how well it worked in Springfield, the Springfield Food Policy Council and Liz just really advocated with the local legislators, and they were like, yes, let's do this.
And so, got it statewide.
Statewide from there, which is just amazing.
So I'm Fern Stidham. I'm the current AmeriCorps member serving with CISA. I'm the community engagement coordinator, so I'm working with Food Access to do a lot of HIP and SNAP promotion.
And what are you doing with seniors?
So the Senior Farm Share Program is a longstanding CISA program that provides basically a season's worth of produce for low-income seniors in the Thriga County area that CISA serves. We have, I believe it's 800 seniors that are in the program this year. It's been growing over the last several years with the goal of getting up to 1,000 in the next couple years.
And how does, like, if people already get HIP or SNAP, or how does this... reach people who don't get those things, or what's the focus?
So if you are eligible for SNAP, you are also eligible for the Senior Farm Share Program, but you don't need to be enrolled in SNAP to be eligible for it. There's an income level, basically, that's on our applications. It's run through a lot of the senior centers and the Council on Aging coalitions that are in the various towns where we have shares. Basically, it's a program where seniors go to a local kind of distribution center, often a senior center, and they'll go once a week to be able to pick up basically a CSA share worth of produce for 10 weeks in the summer.
So it doesn't involve any, like, money accounting at all. It's just go get the produce.
So there is a $10 share fee at the very beginning of the season, which if the farm that is supplying your particular share location can accept SNAP, then you can pay with it or pay it with SNAP. But beyond that, there's no financial contribution from the seniors.
The Hilltown Seed Saving Network is a group of people committed to learning about saving seeds and growing food and helping ourselves and other community members find out about that.
Can you introduce yourself?
Oh, who, me? Sadie. Sadie Stahl.
And you?
I'm Chris Wayne. And our spring plant swap is coming up Sunday, May 19th. It'll be happening from 1 to 3 at the Village Church. That's 32 Main Street in Cummington, Mass. So if you have a whole bunch of plants that you would like to swap with others, bring them along. And if you tried to grow some plants and it didn't work out, well, come to the plant swap and we'll get you hooked up.
Our seed exchange happens in the fall. Definitely keep on the lookout for that.
All right, that was Lisa, Clarissa, Fern, Sadie, and Chris all at the CISA event in the Cummington Creamery last Saturday. The event was, Lisa announced it at the beginning of the clip, but apparently I wasn't listening to my own show, so I can't remember what she said the event was, the series of events that CISA's doing. She said they're doing half a dozen of them around the valley, I think, this summer. And you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie. All that talk about food distribution and where to get, made me think, as a trash hauler, of course, I'm thinking about what's going to happen on the other end. And so, like, composting, because I know I have a lot of friends, I haul trash. I see lots of food in the trash. And anytime you get fresh fruits and vegetables and you're cooking with them, you're going to have some scraps. And so I asked someone from CESA there at the event, I was like, hey, I wonder if it's ever come up in CESA conversations, the other end of food and trying to return it to the soil, to the earth and composting programs. And they said, yeah, we think about that. We talk about that sometimes. It's not really our mission, but that stuff's important. And someone there said, you know who you should talk to about that? You should talk to Petal people. They all compost. It's this worker cooperative. It's really cool. They'll just like come by and get your stuff from in front of your house. I let the person go on for a little while. And then I said, I do Petal people. See, I was in Covington and I was like, that's like, I don't know, 17 miles out of town, 20 miles out of town. Yeah, 23 miles out of town. So might as well have been in Texas or something. Here is Jawara Brown with Mother Nature Calling Me.
I come off the grid, you know. Get away from society and societal train, you know?
Imagine a planet that is clean, without all these modern deformities, over which we fight for with lust and greed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's go to Mother Nature, let her teach us the way to live, let her lead us into her prosperity. Only bring upon us destruction. Mother Nature calling me.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. So that last series of clips, another clip I forgot to play was, so after I was talking with the CESA people, Then next.
Right.
Technical difficulties. Let me stop the whatever's going on with that other thing on the computer. And next, after this,
enjoy the river.
Hang on. Me and Shira.
Cemetery. So Shira and I left the creamery on our bikes, heading up about 9 towards Savoy, Windsor. And we went for a few miles and then decided to pull off and enjoy the river. We pulled off right before the cemetery, and there was a red pickup truck and a guy standing out by looking at a tombstone or something where we pulled off. Anyway, we went down to the river and stuck our fingers in and enjoyed it for a while. And we came back up, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes later. And when we came back onto Route 9, we noticed there is a SUV parked across Route 9 on the other side at the base of the slope up the hill, Woods Mountain. And there were a couple of guys that were carrying green net bags full of stuff on their shoulders.
Yeah, they were pulling them out of the woods. They had stashed them on the edge, and they were taking them out of the woods and throwing them in the back of the vehicle.
And so we thought, oh, let's go see what that is. And so we rode across the street, and it was bags of ramps. I asked one of the guys, oh, what you got? But it didn't seem like English was his first language. But we could tell they were ramps, and she was like, would you?
Well, I mean, many, many huge bags of ramps, and you could see that they were actually dug out all the way. So not cut off, but actually, like, all the bulbs and everything were dug off. And I knew that's a ramp hill that different people frequent.
Yeah, so there's probably, like, at least five or six
grabs.
Yeah, the whole back of the SUV was filled
like
with these
potato bags
that were filled with these ramps. We said, oh, well, you know, if you just cut off the tops and leave the plant in the ground, they can, you know, they can survive.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, we're leaving, we won't be back. And so I said in Spanish, no, just cut off the tops and you leave the bottoms. It's better for the life of the plant. Yeah. And then they jumped in the SUV and drove away. They had
we could smell the waft behind them.
They had Florida plates. And then as they drove off one way, like heading towards Windsor Savoy, then a minute, as we were riding down Route 9, still along the cemetery, the guy that had been there with the red pickup truck staring at the tombstone, he drove off the other way. And then we went down the side road, Main Street, West Cummington. And then, like, a couple miles later, this gray SUV comes towards us. And I was like, wait, is that the same one? And as it went by, I was like, yep, it's got the Florida plates. And then they smelled the waft of ramps. Yep, that was definitely that SUV full of ramps heading back towards Northampton or somewhere.
Yeah, you know, actually, it's funny because a few years ago, Savoy, so just by there, there was this major pot farm bust, actually, that was, like, in all the news, and it was, there were guys who were based in New York, I think they might have been Chinese, actually, who had this whole thing, and I think that they, and it was obviously before that was legal, I think they caught it because they were having, like, major electrical shortages around there because they had, like, because it was an indoor operation, and they had, like, so much electricity that they had going on in this building. So they did a bust, actually, like, sort of in the same neighborhood. So I guess the Hilltowns, it's where you go when you want to do something.
Oh, yeah, the guy with the red pickup truck, that was a white guy. I was, like, wondering, like, is he the boss? Was he doing lookout? I don't know.
White power man dynamics. Yeah.
So it's Saturday, April 27th. I'm coming back from Bike Lab. I was riding up the trail past Abundance Farm, and I thought, I should check the garbage can to see if it needed emptying, which it does. And then I thought, as long as I'm here, nettles, I should get some nettles. So I came to pick some nettles, and I ran into a couple other people also picking nettles. Yay, it's the spring nettle harvest. What's your name?
Ellie.
And
Alexi.
And you all are picking nettles too?
Yeah, first time.
First time, but you're familiar with nettles?
Yeah.
How have you known about them?
So I'm Bulgarian by birth, and nettles are a very common thing to eat in spring. So my grandmother used to pick it every spring, just go foraging. And I moved to the area recently, so I'm super thrilled to find nettle here.
You said there weren't any in Texas?
No, none.
How do you like to cook them?
Well, my grandmother used to make them with rice or make nettle soup. I haven't cooked netto in 20 years, so I'm going to have to pull up the Bulgarian recipes online and figure out how to do it.
And how do you pick them without getting stung?
Well, I was trying to remember what my grandmother does, and I think she looks for young plants so they don't sting as much, and then try to slide her hand in between the leaves and be fast.
And you have some Christmas sacks that you're using, like gloves?
Yeah, we have discovered that the single bag is not enough, so two. You okay,
sir?
So yeah, we loaded up two at the same time. That seems to help.
I don't know if you saw the sign over there that says use gloves.
Yeah, I did, and you know, too late.
So it's
sorry for all the wind in the background of that clip. Listeners, you are listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie. Out There airs Fridays from 4 until 5, followed by Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. And next on Out There today, continuing the theme of local food, we have Vincent Hedger.
Friday, May 10th. Vince and I just finished breakfast. Vince, what's next for you and your day?
Pretty soon I'm going to get on the bike and go down to the farm and check the plants in the greenhouse.
Where's the farm?
It's right on the Hatfield side of the line, just on the north side, right where Hatfield and Northampton meet.
Off of Route 10. How far of a bike ride is that?
It's about 4 miles.
A lot of people don't like to ride up that way. They like to even go to the co-op because it's like, oh, the roads. How's it for you?
It's like dying and going to heaven for me. After my previous farm experience, which was like a 24-mile bike ride one way, now 4 miles, that's like I'm barely riding my bike and I find I'm already there.
Wow. And the roads, the pleasant or unpleasantness of Hatfield Street and Route 10 in that stretch?
Well, Hatfield Street is not great, but I've ridden on way worse roads, and the people seem to be generally considerate, so I don't worry about it at all.
So how's the farm? Can you talk a little bit about the farm project that you got going on?
It's about the farmland that I'm working is a little bit under an acre. And it's part of the Requesas del Campo cooperative. So there's other people out there working sections of land, getting some planting started this time of year and doing some greenhouse work. So I'm just continuing basically the work that I was doing in Eastern Maryland, growing a big variety of stuff. And I'm trying to grow the same things, including sweet potatoes, which I understand are a little harder to grow up here. But it's about 40 or 50 different crops, summer crops and some storage crops. And everything's coming along really well, thanks to some help I've had from you, Ruthie, and one of our other housemates. And so now it's only May, and I've only had this farm for a month, and the beds are all built, the raised beds are all built. Everything is planted that needs to be planted right now. Everything in the greenhouse is looking good. So the farm looks very happy right now.
How are you working the land, the soil? Like, do you ride your bike out there and then get on a tractor or what?
No, I do. I get out there, I get off my bike and I pick up my shovel or my rake or my hoe. It's all hand-powered farming. And an acre for one human being, if this is my main occupation, it's totally doable.
How do you manage weeds?
Well, a couple different systems that I work with. I have this really sturdy black plastic. They call it row cover. And it's not the stuff you throw away every year. You can use it for years and years. I've had some that it's like 15 years old, some pieces now. So I think if you take good care of it, you can make it last a long, long time. So that's one of my, I have enough of that stuff to cover about half of an acre. So I use that as a mulch, like covering up certain parts of the farm and then After a couple weeks, they get moved to another place. Like, so as a, let's say a row starts getting really weedy and I don't have a plan to work with it for a couple weeks, so it's just going to get weedier and weedier. Once it gets to a certain critical point, I'll pull one of those ground covers off of an area that has been being covered for a couple weeks. When I uncover that, now that soil is nice and ready for digging and planting and cultivating. And I'll take that row cover or that ground cover and I'll put it on top of the weedy row. So that'll just smother those weeds. In 3 weeks of warm weather, I can pull that row, that ground cover off, and I have a perfectly ready, nice and moist bed to work into. So that's kind of, that's like one of the main things that I rely on, but also have some really good farmer-sized hoes, which are not like the kind you get at Home Depot. They're like big, heavy-duty monsters. And keep them nice and sharp, and it's amazing how fast you can go down a row cultivating or weeding with those.
What's your some of your motivations to farm? It's, you know, sounds like a lot of hard work.
I think part of it is that I grew up in extreme poverty and had to... And then later on in life, found myself thinking about what it was like for my mother having to raise children without resources or much help. And so I think that's part of what motivates me. It's like not everybody is in difficult circumstances because of their own choices. Sometimes, like for example, children, they don't choose to be poor, but they have to go without if they're poor. So there's a part of me that just thinks, well, I have always wanted to, I went to a high school that focused on giving to the community. And so that feels like something that, it seems really simple that you can grow food and share it with people and they're doing something good for the community. But also since I grew up doing outdoor sports, running and skiing particularly, it feels, it's a good outlet for, it's a good outlet for releasing some physical exertion. And I feel like there's a lot of commonality between cross-country running and skiing and farm work, because it's, you go out there and you're just doing the same tasks, sometimes for hours, very repetitive, but with the right frame of mind, it's like you're getting yourself a good workout and you're doing all these good things at the same time and getting to be out in nature and getting to watch the plants grow. Mm-hmm. So it's just like very rewarding in so many different ways. You get done with the hard day of work and you're just like, oh, I got 7 rows done today. 7 rows. Those rows were bothering me and now they're done.
If you're feeling bored or exhausted or discouraged, do you have any like mental tricks that you turn to keep your energy going?
Well, yeah. In the worst case scenario, like sometimes I'll just have off days and a voice will say, this is not a day to be at the farm. So unless there's critical work, I'll just get on the bike and go back home. But otherwise, it's easy to tell myself, okay, you're just going to focus on this one task and not think your external thoughts, just focus on the work that you have to do. And it's amazing how the work itself often transforms a foul mood or a dark mood, and then you're doing the work and you feel good because the work's getting done. And so things often just take care of themselves.
You're growing a lot of food, hopefully. What are you planning on doing with it?
Well, the default is to donate everything that doesn't get sold and to donate at least half, even if I'm able to sell anything. And then there's also food for the house where I live, here at the Flo-op. So everybody here, I'm planning on being able to provide whatever I grow for the people here. And donating, like I said, at least half. And at some point, once the crops actually are like producing food, then I'll start worrying about, I'm not a good salesperson, so I just put that off as long as I can. And I trust somehow it's going to work out. And if I'm able to give away everything I don't sell, I don't have to worry about wasting my effort and wasting the food that I produce.
A lot of the stuff, like dry beans, corn, potatoes, they'll keep for the winter, right?
Yes. And that's when I started farming, that's what I really was interested in, was storage crops. Because tomatoes and cucumbers and zucchini, it's great during the summertime, but that's just a little flash in the pan. And then the winter months come and you still have to eat something. So it's good to have beans, potatoes, winter. It's good to have all that stuff piled up from the summer. I'm just happy that it seems to all be working out. Months and months ago, when I was still in Eastern Maryland, I was like, how is this going to happen? And I was making my pathetic efforts, trying not to use the internet, which was almost impossible to relocate. And now here I am, and like, there's a farm, and it's the farm is doing good. I'm grateful for the farm, and I'm grateful for all the help I'm getting.
How did you find the farm?
Well, Michael Skillcorn from Grow Food Northampton sent me a message. He knew that I was looking for space, and they didn't have space available at Grow Food. So I guess he knows enough people around town and put out the word. And some of the people from Requesos got in touch with me. And before I knew it, I had a farm.
Well, thanks for growing food to feed the people. And the deer and other animals, too, probably.
Mm-hmm. Happy to do it.
That's my housemate, Vincent Hedger. Vincent also just got hired by Petal People, so now he has a way to support his farming habit. And if you're interested in helping out at his farm, it's called Come By Bike Farm, and it's behind RK Miles on Route 5 and 10 in Hatfield. It's part of the Riquezas del Campo project, cooperative farming project. And you can be in touch by contacting me, Ruthie at petalpeople.coop. Thanks for listening to Out There Today. Next on Out There. Oh, yeah. So if you want to help out at the farm, or if you want to buy any vegetables, not quite sure yet what Vince's distribution networks are going to be. But maybe you can get a hold of him. You'll be able to get a hold of him through Petal People, I suppose. Next on Out There, speaking of bike stuff, next week is Bike Week. And here's Carl talking about some of the celebratory events. It's Saturday, April 27th, 2024. Another Bike Lab. I'm here with Adele. Hi, Adele.
Hi.
And Carl. Carl, it's your first Bike Lab today?
This is my first Bike Lab, yeah.
How'd you find out about it?
I was canvassing for Bike Week, and I stopped at the Recovery Center, and I saw a poster in the window that said the Bike Lab was happening, and I said, oh, that sounds like something that I would like to know about. And that's the first time that I heard about it.
You were canvassing for Bike Week?
For Bike Week, that's right. Bike Week is May 13th through the 19th this year in 2024. It's an event that tries to get people to ride their bikes to work or just everything that they're doing throughout the day, if that's going to dinner or something like that. That's also what we encourage on Bike Week.
Do you ride a bike?
I do ride a bike.
You like it?
I do love riding my bike. I bike 7 miles to work there and back each day, so I do quite a bit of riding. The big Bike Week event that we do each year is the Bike Breakfast, which is on Wednesday from 7:30 to 9:30. So if you're already biking to work as part of the event, on Wednesday you can stop in at Pulaski Park and get a free grab-and-go breakfast item. There will also be a radio station there doing interviews with people, and lots of booths about bike things that are happening in the area that you can learn more about other opportunities to ride your bike more.
That's Wednesday, though.
Wednesday the 15th from 7:30 to 9:30. So this bike breakfast is special because it's the 25th one that's happened. So it's the 25th anniversary of bike breakfasts in Northampton. It will be for the first time this year in Pulaski Park. Last year it was across from the Hotel Northampton. I'm not sure the building.
The Registry of Deeds.
Building. Registry of Deeds. That's probably it. Right. Yeah. That's where we had it last year. But we think Pulaski Park is a good place to have it. There's a nice big lawn there that we can set up the booths to talk to people about bike things. Other events, we have earlier in the week on Tuesday from 5:30 to 7:30, I'll check the time. but on Tuesday, we have at Forbes Library, a bike lab sponsored by Bikes for All. That will be repairing your bikes. So if you find as you ride your bike on Monday that there are some things that need to be fixed up, you can stop in on Tuesday at Forbes Library between 5 and 7 and tune things up a little bit. Thursday is the bike party that you might see happening on Thursdays from 6 to 7. We just go out and have fun riding around downtown Northampton streets, meeting Pulaski Park at 6 p.m. Uh-huh. Yep, for the bike party. And that'll be followed by a bike party after party at Progression Brewing Company. They have a space that they'll set aside for any bike people that are coming by bike after the bike party. And then Friday, there's a bike commuter party where after you've been biking the whole week, you can come to Northampton Bicycle. They have a bar on the other side of the shop where there will be a social hour with both alcoholic beverages and non-alcoholic. So it's family friendly. You can bring kids to the event if you'd like. And then on Saturday, there is a bike yoga from 12 to 1 in Sanctuary, which is on the third floor of Thorns. So there will be kind of a yoga activity that you can stretch out any muscles that might be sore from biking all week. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is on Sunday, there's the Great Tree bike tour. There's both going to be like a guided tour and then a that has limited spaces that are available. But there's also the routes posted online, so you can follow along at your own pace if that sounds like something that you'd like to explore. We have a website. It's nohobikeweek.com. So if you go to nohobikeweek.com, you can find all of the information about the events, when they're happening, where they are.
So Tuesday is the first one at the library?
Tuesday is the first one at the library, yep.
Okay, that's great. So people, if they have a bike, come get it fixed, and then you can do all the other events the rest of the week.
Through the rest of the week, yep.
That's pretty cool. And tomorrow, Saturday, May 11th at Pulaski Park. Pulaski Park in downtown Northampton. Bike Lab will be tomorrow, Saturday, 11:30 to 2:30. Come learn how to fix your bike or borrow tools or get help with it. What else for today? You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. You can hear archived editions of Out There either on the Valley Free Radio website. You can hear archived shows from the last 2 weeks only. Or you can hear archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. But I've been I'm not caught up. I'm a handful of shows behind to get the archives updated. Also, events, things coming up. Today's Friday. It's 4:48, says the clock. At 5 o'clock will be the Friday standout at the Rotary to call for a ceasefire and end to the Israeli bombing of Gaza. That happens every Friday at 5 at the Rotary roundabout by the Connecticut River on Route 9 and Damon Road and the I-91 interstate exit. Tomorrow, downtown Northampton at 11 in front of the courthouse, there will be a peace vigil, special Mother's Day peace vigil to remember mothers and children around the world. That's tomorrow from 11 until 12. I'm sure there's many, many things going on. Yeah. What else? Ultimate Frisbee this evening in Haydenville at 6. Pick up at the field there. What is it called? Fairfield. Is it Fairfield? Maybe it's Fairfield Avenue. How could I ever forget that there's a field on Fairfield? Hello. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! coming up at 5 o'clock. I think I'm babbling. So how about some Buffy St. Marie?
Very common thing to eat.
Hey, I got something else playing. Somehow I just keep on playing things that automatically keep playing. Now, here's some Buffy St. Marie. Whether you're a man, sometimes you got to take a stand. Just because you think you can.
run.
Thank you, Buffy. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. Other things I wanted to announce here on out there on Valley Free Radio is there's free concerts Friday nights at the Elks Club here in Florence. Friday nights, I forget what time, 6:30, something like that. Also, there's farmers markets Saturday in Northampton, Tuesday in Northampton, Wednesdays in Florence.
It's Wednesday, May 8th. I'm at the Wednesday Florence Farmers Market. I ran into Kat Berry as I was hoping to. Nice to see you here, Kat Berry.
Thank you. Ditto. And happy Taurus New Moon to everybody. That was last night at, I'm not going to remember the exact time. It was last night.
So the Farmers Market is here by the Civic Center and the library, which is the same place that the Thursday night concerts are going to be happening. What do you know about the Thursday night concerts?
Well, I happen to have found Johnny Memphis, the very wonderful organizer of the third year of our Thursday night concerts. For anybody who doesn't know, every Thursday night from 6:30 to 8 outside the Civic Center, and if it might happen to rain, which last year we did pretty well with not so much of that, it will just be inside the Civic Center. Very simple. But the big news is, for the first time probably ever, it's starting on May 30th, not waiting till June, because that's where we get the Northamptons and the Northampton High School Band. So that's this month, May 30th, 6:30 to 8, Civic Center lawn, be there or be square.
And I think we'll go out today with some. It's going to play John Batiste. Yes, here it is. John Batiste. Thanks for listening. Get out there. Just like this, I don't know why, but